This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Welcome to the Kollel Agra DePirka here in Kew Garden Hills, New York. So, we're going to speak a little bit about a day that there is not so much known about this day. We're going to speak about Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, as the years go on, it becomes more and more popular. Now they already have Svarim on Tu B'Shvat. They're unearthing new material every year. But still, Tu B'Shvat is one of the most unknown days on the Jewish calendar, because it's not really mentioned anywhere. Anybody know how many times Tu B'Shvat is mentioned in the Chumash? Zero. How about in the Nevi'im? No, sorry. How about in the Ksuvim? Nope. It's not mentioned. What about in the Mishnah? Well, we know the Mishnah says, yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah La'ilanois. We'll have to see what that means. It's just a very technical day in terms of Hilchos Maser, when the Maser year begins, when the Maser year ends. In fact, as far as I know, Tu B'Shvat is only mentioned two times in Shulchan Aruch. One time, Tu B'Shvat is mentioned that if a person has a series of fast days, let's say a person fasts every Monday and Thursday, and it falls out during Tu B'Shvat, what do you do? So I know that this is a very relevant question for many of us here. You know, for those of us who fast every Monday and Thursday, that's one time that Tu B'Shvat is mentioned. And then there's another time that Tu B'Shvat is mentioned, and that is in Archaim Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, Noagush Lalipa Apneim Betuba Av V'loy Betuba Shvat. The minhag is not to say Tachnun on Tu B'Av and not Tu B'Shvat. By the way, that's mashma. Other days you do say Tachnun, just to point out. So, but that's the other time that it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the Yom Tif of Tu B'Shvat. So basically, what do you do on Tu B'Shvat? What's Tu B'Shvat? It's a day that you don't say Tachnun. Very nice, wonderful day. Right? Lag Ba'omer? No, not. Lag Ba'omer doesn't say you don't say Tachnun. The Rama adds that. But be it as it may, there is no real mention of what to do on Tu B'Shvat. There's certainly no mention anywhere in the Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch about eating fruits, about eating rare fruits, about eating fruits that they're going to rip you off to purchase. No, there's no mention of that anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, where does this come from? So the Magen Avram says, listen to this, B'Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanois. However, look how the tables have turned. V'noyagin ho'ashkenazim laharbois b'minei peirosh al'ilanois. The Ashkenazic Jews of German descent, Jews of Eastern Europe, their minog is they eat a lot of fruits on Tu B'Shvat. Not the Sfardim. Sfardim, they don't do nothing. They don't say tachnon. And but that's about it. Only Ashkenazim, they eat a lot of fruits. Right? What do you mean? Doesn't everybody eat a lot of fruits a day? You're supposed to eat 9 fruits a day. I don't know how that's humanly possible. Even like you start in the morning and all you do all day is eat fruits. I don't know how you're supposed to. But still, the minhag is, at least on Tu B'Shvat, you get your daily dose of fruits, but only if you're Ashkenazi. If you're Sfardim, sorry, it's not for you. So, why would Ashkenazim eat a lot of fruits? What's the reason to eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat? You're not taking off Maaser. So we know it's Rosh Hashanah La'ilanois. Now, just right off the bat, okay, it's Rosh Hashanah La'ilanois. So I have a question. On the first day of Tishrei, Hashem judges people. So do we eat people on Rosh Hashanah? Because it's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom HaDin. If it's a Yom HaDin, you go to shul, you daven, you're in a somber mood, you wear your kittel. So why would you eat the fruits? Maybe you should bring the fruits to shul, put a hat and jacket on them, put a talus on the fruit, put a little gartel around the fruit, let the fruit pray. If it's a Rosh Hashanah, why would you eat it? what a sorry fate the fruit has to endure because it's a Rosh Hashanah La'ilanos. Now what does it even mean that it's Rosh Hashanah La'ilanos? It does not mean it's a Yom HaDin. It does not mean it's a Day of Judgment. When we say it's Rosh Hashanah, it means one thing. Take a look at number 3. And these two lines, or 2.5 lines of the Mishnah, there is so much laden in these two lines, it's incredible if we pay careful attention to the word usage. Look at number 3, it's a Mishnah in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah lo ilan. On the first day of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah for trees. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. like the words of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Oimrim, B'chamisha Asar Bai. Beis Hillel says on the 15th day of Shavat. So what could possibly be laden in these two lines? Now, what does it mean, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan? So Rashi says, Legabe Masrois. The halacha is you can't just, collect fruits, year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, and then say, okay, after 5 years, I'm taking off Meiser. You need to take Meiser off of year one's produce on year one's produce. Meiser on year two's produce on year two. In other words, you can't take off, if you have 100 apples in year one and 100 in year two, you can't take off 20 in year two for year one and two's apples. You have to take 10 on year one, 10 on year two. Every year's crop has to be Meisered separately. So what is the line of demarcation for a particular year's Meiser? So Rashi says, Ein Masrin Peros Ilan Shechantu Kaidam Shvat. We don't take Meiser on fruits that bloomed before Shvat, Al Shechantu La'achar Shvat. Sheba Ilan Hoylech Achar Chanata. When it comes to trees, we follow Chanata. What does that mean when it comes to trees, follow Chanata? As opposed to Yerakais, as opposed to vegetables, by vegetables, the Hilchos Meiser go by Lakita, when you gather it. When it comes to Peirois, it goes by Chanata. So whatever blossomed before Tu B'Shvat is last year's crop. Whatever blossomed after Tu B'Shvat is this year's crop. Now, why is Tu B'Shvat the line of demarcation? Like, what happens on Tu B'Shvat that now all of a sudden this is the beginning of the new crop? So the Gemara says on Daf Yedah, look at number 5. Be'echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, my taima, what's the reason? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Hoyol V'yatsu Roiv Gishmei Shana. Since the majority of the rain has fallen. The majority of the rain of a year falls by Tu B'Shvat. Comes Tu B'Shvat, 51% at least of the rain has already fallen. Therefore, Tu B'Shvat is the line of demarcation. So you'll ask, okay, that's a nice idea when it comes to weather. I'm happy I have that, that little tidbit of knowledge that the majority of the rain has fallen when Tu B'Shvat comes. Yeah, but like, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Why would that make it that Tu B'Shvat is now the line of demarcation for Peiros? Says Rashi, if when the majority of the rain has fallen, that is the time when even you can look at the tree and it's undetectable that something's happening to the tree. But we know there is an inner process that takes place in a tree, and that is the sap rises from the bottom of the tree and begins to rise up to the edge of the branches to produce the fruits. Meaning, if you were to try to create a moment of birth for a tree, when would that be? So we would say, I don't know, when the flower begins to blossom, or maybe when a bud appears. No. The first stage of the growth of a tree is when the sap begins to rise up in the tree, because that juice, that sap, is the vitality of the tree. That's ultimately what's going to give rise to the fruits. So when does the sap begin to rise in the tree? When the majority of the rain of the season has fallen. When has the majority of the rain of the season fallen? Tu B'Shvat. Or according to Beis Shammai, Echad B'Shvat. So Beis Shammai says, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the beginning of the 11th month. Beis Hillel says the 15th. Beis Shammai says, no, you have to look very carefully. Already there's a certain amount of moisture in the tree that's beginning to rise on the first day of Shvat. And Beis Hillel says, no, not yet. That's not considered the Sraf yet. The Sraf does not begin to rise until the 15th day of Shvat. So you say, okay, what could be so complicated about Tu B'Shvat? It seems pretty straightforward. It seems to be the most uninspiring day of the year. It's a halachic technical day of when begins the new year for trees in terms of Hilchos Maaser. I'm not a farmer. I don't want to be a farmer. I don't even want to have a havamina of ever thinking about growing trees. There's nothing wrong with being a farmer. But what is that? What does Tu B'Shvat have to do with me? Let's look carefully at the Lashon of the Mishnah number 3. Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah la'ilan. The word la'ilan is a very unusual word. Why? Because it should be la'ilanais. Why should it be la'ilanais? Just to be consistent with every other word in that Mishnah. Go to the beginning of the Mishnah. How does the Mishnah begin? Arba Rosh Hashanah heim be'echad b'nisan Rosh Hashanah le'melech. Right? V'leneta, right? Uvil regel, right? Vilamoyed, right? No, that's not what it says. It says limilachim, vilaregalim, linatiyais. Everything is lashon. Everything in the entire Mishnah is lashon rabim. Why, when it comes to Elon, it's the only example of many, many in the Mishnah that's lashon yochid? Why doesn't it keep it consistent? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did not run out of ink. I happen to know, inside information that Yehuda Hanasi did have enough ink to put in the two letters Vav and Tav. One proof is, Le'ilan, how much ink is he saving? He's not even saving ink, because the end of the Nun anyway has to be longer, right? So he obviously did have extra ink. And I happen to know that he had the resource. Rabbi Yehuda was a very wealthy man. He did not run out of ink at that point. And even if he did, he could have corrected it after. Why did he write La Ilan? He should have written La Ilanais. Next, I'll bring you another raya he didn't run out of ink. And that is because he wrote an extra letter in the Mishnah. What's the extra letter? If I were writing the Mishnah, I would have wrote Divrei Beis Shammai, like every other time in the entire Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. What's Kid Divrei Beis Shammai? Like the opinion. Like, you know, a Kid. Kid makes a very big difference. Somebody told me his wife's name was Razi. Don't add the Kid. The Kid could make a very big difference. Kid and the, right? What's the difference between yes Kid and no Kid? Kid is, you know, like, as if, you know, not exactly. The Chaf HaDimyoin. The Chaf HaDimyoin means not quite, right? Like the other, it says, all the other Nevi'im were Nesnabi, Bikoya Mar Hashem, Moshe Zeh. Ke is basically. But if you were writing a Mishnah and you wrote, Ke Divrei Beis Shammai, it almost sounds like, not only is this Beis Shammai's opinion, this is consistent with Beis Shammai's opinion throughout Shas. This is thematic with the approach of Beis Shammai. Ki divrei Beis Shammai. This is in accordance with the general mahalach of Beis Shammai. In what way? What is Rosh Chodesh Shvat? How is that in accordance with the general approach of Beis Shammai? So number one, why the Ilan Nois? Why Lashon Yachid? Number two, why Ki divrei Beis Shammai? And number three, what are they arguing about? When the sap rises in the tree? So I have a good idea. Take a syringe, stick it in the tree, pull it out, and you'll see when the sap begins to rise in the tree. See, you know, there are certain things you can't argue about. Like, you can't argue about what time is Shkia. You could argue about which Shkia did the Gemara refer to, but you can't argue what time. It's a Metzius. So go check out when the sap rises in the tree. Oh, so you'll say, like, I already tried to explain it before. There's probably minimal moisture. The question is this halachic saraf? Is it not halachic saraf? But still, what's behind the machlekes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel over here? Okay, my rabbi, so let's look at number 7. In number 7, we have the comments of the Bnei Yisaschar, Rav Tzvi Eliezer Melech Midinov, Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. Lo'y omer lo'ilan ois, kamay be'inach. It doesn't say lo'ilan ois, like in the other cases in the Mishnah. This is a remez to the tradition that we have from our Rabbeim. So Bnei Yisaschar is invoking ancient tradition among the Admoir, among the Hasidim, that what should a person do on Tu B'Shvat? Lehispalel b'Tu B'Shvat al Esroig kosher yafeh mehudar. That you should be zoicha to get a kosher Esroig, a beautiful Esroig, a wondrous Esroig, and I would add, and not to get ripped off. They're men. You need to daven that you should be zoicha to get a good esrog. Sheyazmin Hashem Yizbarach beis hametzarach. That Hashem should prepare for you when you need it. Why? Why should you daven for a good esrog today? This is the day the sap begins to rise in the tree. And it rises in accordance with the zuchus of every particular yid. Therefore, it is a proper day to daven that in, I don't know what, 8 months' time, you should be zoicha to get a nice esrog. How is it merumas in the Mishnah? Because it doesn't say la ilan ois. It says la ilan, the tree. What's the tree? Well, it's the one fruit that we do a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa with. There's only, what's the one fruit that we do a mitzvah d'oraisa with? Esrog! So it's a remez to the ancient custom that what do you do on Tu B'Shvat? You daven for a beautiful esrog. It's very interesting. he brings it as if it's a Kabbalah among the Hasidim. Very, very often, the traditions of the Hasidim are the same and similar to the traditions of the Sfaradim. They very often have very similar customs, for the simple reason, and that is, they both emphasize the Kabbalah. So in the Sephardic world, they always emphasize the Zohar and the Arizal, but Hasidim also. You know, you go to an auction, and they're selling the Sfarim, the manuscripts of the Chidah. Who's interested in the manuscripts of the Chidah? A yeshiva bach? No, all the Hasidim. What do the Hasidim have to do with the Chidah? By the way, the Chidah often defends the Hasidim from, the famous machlokes, L'shem Yichud. Now, Yehuda says, you're not allowed to say L'shem Yichud. So who comes to the aid of the Hasidim? Chidah defense. Anyway, so I happen to have over here a tefillah written by none other than the Ben Ish Chai of that what you should say when you daven for a beautiful esrog on Tu B'Shvat. Now, I'll hand it out to you. I have a color copy. If you feel that you need a color copy to be able to say the tefillah, speak to me privately. I could work it out, okay? But right now I have a... If you want, take it. Take a look. Now, I was just zoicha to be at the kever of the Ben Ish Chai on Har HaZeisim. So we have a shir, you could check it up, because what's interesting is the Ben Ish Chai also has a kever in Baghdad. So, you know, it's one thing you could wear two pairs of tefillin, you could wear Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, but two different kvarim, that's also, how's that possible? Where in fact is he buried? In Baghdad, in Har HaZeisim. It's an interesting subject. But Marver Aboisai, what's the meaning of this custom that on Tu B'Shvat, what do we do on Tu B'Shvat? We daven for a nice esrog. I mean, why? Because the sap rises up in the tree. I have to daven for a nice esrog. The last thing on anyone's mind on Tu B'Shvat is sukkis, is esrogim. People, maybe they start to clean for Pesach. I don't think too many people are starting to think about the Yom Tov of sukkis and what kind of esrog they're going to buy. And yet, there's this tradition that the Bnei Yisachar brings down, and the Ben Ish Chai also says, "Yiratzem b'fanei Hashem u'kenu v'yosenu she'tavarech kol ilanos ha'esrog lahaitzi persem be'itam v'yotziu esrogim toivim yafim mudarim nekiim mikamum v'le'ayalehem chazozes yushleimim lo'yishachasam v'le'akitzatz koitz v'yimitzin a whole langa tefila." So, what's the big avoda of Tu B'Shvat? To daven for a nice esrog. Now, don't be fooled by the pictures of the orange and the grape on the bottom. That's not part of the tefillah. It's just a decoration. It's not. Don't really be medayek in the picture. It's not really important.
With grapes in the kiddush, why don't you daven for kiddush?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good point. You do. You make kiddush on grapes. Maybe you'll say that the grapes. It's nishtana tsurasan. You know, it's squeezed out. What?
You don't pay so much.
And also, some Sfaradim, they make Kiddush on Challah, so, you know, I don't know. But even Sfaradim take a lulav of an esrog, so we daven for... What's the meaning of the special tefillah for a nice esrog? And let's add one other nekuda, a very interesting nekuda, and that is in the writings of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen wants to bring out another nekuda from the fact that the Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah lo ilan. That according to Rav Tzadok, what does Le'ilan refer to? It refers to a different the tree. What the tree does it refer to? Well, the Gemara says that, you know, whenever you have any day in Judaism, whenever you have any inyan in Yiddishkeit, you always have to trace it back to the original sin, to the cheda, the Eitz Hadas. Like the Gemara says in Brachas and Daf Mem, Ilan sha'achal mimenu Adam Harishon. The tree that Adam Harishon ate. And when it writes, so Hashem says Adam Harishon, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives us an account, what Hashem did in the first hour, the second hour, he took the earth, and he mixed water, and he made clay, and he molded it into limbs, and he threw in the neshama, and he gave it koyach hadibur. And then Hashem says to Adam, listen up, Adam, you have no mitzvahs. You don't even have sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. You could wear shatness. You could speak Lashon, whatever you want to do. Just do me a favor. You could eat all the fruits in the world. The only thing is, you don't even ever have to say Tachlon, Adam. The only thing you have to do, Adam, is don't eat from the tree. Everything else, you're free agents. What does Adam do immediately? He eats from the tree. And the whole mankind is hurled into a a state of tragedy. Because the plan was, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem Uvnei Adam Kolchem. The plan was, man was going to live forever. Achein Ka'adam Tumason. And now everyone has to die like the original man. That's a primordial sin. Well, on Tu B'Shvat, which is the day of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanois, yes, it's Rosh Hashanah for all Ilanois, but the reason the Tana said La'ilan, the tree, it's a remez to the Yetz Hadas. And this is a day that somehow we have to rectify the sin of the Yetz Hadas. How do we rectify the sin of the Yetz Hadas? Doesn't say. Unclear. Well, we don't eat the Yetz Hadas, we eat other fruits. So, I don't know, maybe we need to take a trip to Gan Eden, find the Yetz Hadas, and not eat it. But somehow, the fact that the Tana said, Lo Ilan, it's a reference to the Yetz Hadas. And somehow, on Tu B'Shvat, why in the world are we rectifying the sin of the Yetz Hadas on Tu B'Shvat? It almost sounds like, well, I don't know, it's the middle of the winter, no one has anything better to do. It's like a month from Hanukkah, it's a month to Purim, it's middle of nowhere. So you know what, while we're at it, while we're just sitting around in the Kol Agadah Pirkei, let's finally rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. Seems like something's missing. So we have two great Gedolim. They're both Medayek in the Lashon of the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. The Bnei Yisachar says it's a remez to daven for a nice esroig. And the Reb Tzadok HaKohen says it's a remez to be mesakein in the ched of Adam HaRishon. What in the world is going on over here? So I want to share with you a tremendous chiddush. And this chiddush comes from a sefer that other than this chiddush, I don't think I ever used before. The name of the sefer is Sifsei Maharash Engel. The words, the lips of Rab Shmuel Engel. Who's Rab Shmuel Engel? Not to be confused with Rabbi Yosef Engel. Shmuel Engel was one of the greatest gedolim pre-war Europe. When I say pre-war, now I mean pre-World War I. He was considered like the Noida Bihuda in his time. By the age of 14, Rabbi Yosef Engel was made about Rabbi Shmuel Engel, that Rabbi Shmuel Engel at age 14, he knew every Tosfos and Shas Baal Peh, which is pretty good. Okay? His mother once turned to the Divrei Chaim. She needed a certain Yeshua, and the Divrei Chaim said, okay, here's your choice. You could have Ashirus, or you could have Banim Gedolim. So she chose the latter. He was also a great Makobel. He learned Kabbalah from a Baruch Halberstam. After World War I, you had many women who Nebuch were agunais. He was matir more than 200 agunais. Comes the year 1935, Tafresh Tzadihei. And by the way, he wrote 8 volumes, Shal Shachos Maharash Engel. He feels like it's his last day. It's Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Tetzaveh. So he asked his Talmidim to bring to him from his Chidushim on Parshas Kisisa about Misas Tzadikim. And when the Chazan was saying the words Mechaye HaMesim, he read Kriya Shema, and it was Yotes Adar Aleph. He was Nifter Yotes Adar Aleph, Tuf Resh Tzadihei. Marv Raboisai, Rav Shmuel Engel primarily focuses on the extra kuf in the Mishnah. What does it mean, Ki Divrei Beishamai? What does it mean in accordance with the opinion of Beishamai? Okay. So Baruch Hashem, we're going to now turn to this week's Parsha. Of course, everything always ties back to the Parsha, but we're going to come back to the Parsha, but let's begin with a story. You know, stories are great. So here goes the story. There was once a man by the name of Yankel, and I'm not telling you his real name to protect the innocent, okay? And Yankel comes to a man by the name of Shammai. And Yankel, by the way, was not a Yid. Why his parents named him Yankel, I told you. It's not his real name anyway. Don't worry. And it's Baruch Hashem. In this year, things are so miraculous. Even when phones are off, they could still ring. It's amazing.
I have a little bit of water off. Does anybody have a problem with that, or should I wait?
Okay. You're good.
How long?
Okay. So the Yankel comes to Shammai, and he says, Shammai, he stands up on one leg, he said, convert me, aregalachas. So Shammai took a bat, he took amasabin, and he smacked him. He said, get lost, you know, what are you wasting my time?
Good.
Get out of here, you're a guy. Right? Yeah, don't waste my time. So he comes in front of Hillel, and Hillel says, "What's the no problem? All you need to know is da'alach sane lecharach leisavid, right? V'yahavta l'reicha kamaicha. Fine, beautiful. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. So frek Rashi the obvious question. You know, v'yahavta l'reicha kamaicha is a very beautiful mitzvah. It's a very all-encompassing mitzvah. If you mekayim v'yahavta l'reicha kamaicha, you won't insult people, you won't speak lashon hara, you won't trick them, you won't steal from them. But what does it got to do with mitzvahs bein adam l'makayim? It maybe is koilel roiv mitzvahs, but it's not koilel all mitzvahs. So Rashi says a fantastic pshat. Says Rashi, who's your best friend in this world? Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazoiv. Your friend and your father's friend, don't forsake. God's your best friend. Now, if you would ask somebody to do something, say, Reuven, can you do me a favor? Would you want Reuven to do the favor? Yes. If you ask your friend to do something, you would want him to do it. So likewise, if your friend asks you to do something, you should do it. God's your friend. Not only that, he's your best friend. He asks you to wear a tefillin. If you would ask him to do something, right, you ask, Ribono shel olam, please, I want to make money today. So you want God to listen to you. So if he asks you to do something, you should listen to him. So v'yahavta l'reicha kamecha, says Rashi, is koilel the entire Torah. Says Rav Shmuel Engel, so beautiful, that's such a beautiful pshat. So why couldn't Beis Shammai tell the guy, you know what? Very nice balance you have. You're standing on one leg. You ready? 3, 2, 1. V'yahavta l'reicha kamecha. And now he's able to stand on two legs, and the guy could go home all happy. What Beis Shammai didn't know, Rashi, why didn't Beis Shammai tell the guy, V'yahavta l'reicha kamecha, ma'idalach sani l'charach le'savid? Says Rav Shmuel Engel, because you have to know, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had different personalities. What does that mean, that they had different personalities? Let's say it like this. You know, there's a sugya in Yevamos, Asay doichalois asay, which means like this. Let's say I have a pair of tzitzis, and I have a linen garment. So, bizman ha-gemara, they used to have real tcheles, so you were allowed to put tcheles on a linen garment. Why? But it's a lav of shatness. The rule is, asay doichalois asay. From where do we learn asay doichalois asay? It's called smichos. It says loisilba shatnes. It says in close proximity gedilim tasilcha. We darshan, you're allowed to make tzitzis even if it's shatnes, right? Comes Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai says, get lost. I'm not doiresh smuchin. You cannot wear tzitzis if it's shatnes. Beis Shammai paskins, ein asay doichalois asay. Famous machlokes. Beis Shammai says, ein asay doichalois asay. Beis Hillel says, asay doichalois asay. So the simple explanation for the machlokes is, Beis Hillel darshins smuchim of gedilim tasel chalois soba shanis, and Beis Shammai does not darshin smuchim. However, says Ma'arash Engel, it's really deeper than that. How could it be deeper than that? The Arizal's Megala in the Shar HaGulgulim, that Hillel HaZaken, the shoresh of his neshama, was the midah of chesed. Therefore, he was an anav. Therefore, he was a savlan. Therefore, he was a tremendous bal chesed. Shammai, on the other hand, was midas hagvura, midas hadin. Hillel held the correct approach in life is ahava, anivos, chesed. Why? That was the root of his neshama. Shammai, on the other hand, was midas hadin, midas hagvura. It's not that he was not as kind at heart. It's not as that he was more arrogant, chas v'sholem. He had a different approach based on the place of the shoresh machtzavas nishmasai. His neshama came from a different place. Shammai was a man of yira, din, gvura. Hillel was a man of ahava, chesed, and anivos. Memela, when the ger comes to Hillel, Hillel says, you know what the whole Torah is based on? Ahava. V'yahavta l'reicha kamecha. Love your friend. Love God. Shammai not in a million years would ever tell the guy, V'yahavta l'reicha kamecha. Because in his worldview, he would never say that ahava is the overarching worldview and the way to... That's not the perspective of observance of Torah. The perspective of observance of Torah, according to Beis Shammai, is din. Be careful. Be exacting. Be strict. Don't be liberal. In other words, it's just a different approach. It was a different attitude in general. Hillel was an Ahava man. Shammai was a Yira man. Hillel could look the guy in the eye and say, honestly, the entire Torah is, we have to Lerecha Kameicha. Shammai was honest enough to know that he can't tell him that. Ahava does not encompass the Torah in the world of Shammai. Says Marash Engel, Go'oine Go'oinus. Listen to this. The Ramban says in this week's Parsha, says Ramban, you ever notice, if somebody wears shatness and we warn him, take that Hugo Boss suit off right now, it has shatness in it. So no, there's no shatness. What are you talking about? Every button is threaded with linen, and the collar is full of shatness. I remember, I used to, one time, long time ago, I used to, bought a suit in a place in the city. So the guy, by his own admission, he said, yeah, I've been servicing Jews for many years. In fact, he said, when he first was in the business and he was a salesman, he said, somebody asked him, by the way, is there shatness in the suit? The guy had no idea there was shatness. Yeah. Shatness in the suit? Nobody has more shatness in our suits than we here. And this, we have shatness in the bottom, we have shatness in the top, we have shatness all of... And I'm thinking, you're telling me this and you're going to sell me a suit, you know? But... anyway, what would happen if somebody, we warn somebody, don't put on the suit, it has shatness in it, and he wears a suit. He gets malchus. What if somebody violated a lav sheyesh boy misas bezdin with hasra? You get capital punishment. What if we warn somebody, hey, lazy bum, get up and put on tefillin already! And he presses the snooze button again. And he doesn't wear tefillin that day. What punishment does he get? Nothing. What if somebody says, why are you eating out of the sukkah?
I don't know.
Don't do it again. What punishment does he get? Nothing. Why do you get punished for violating a lav? And there's no einshim for not fulfilling an asay? That's Ramban's question. Says Ramban an amazing thing. There are two spheres of serving Hashem. There's serving Hashem out of love and serving Hashem out of fear. Which is a more basic level? Fear. Which is a higher level? Love. Which is a greater level? Love. Which is what do we strive for? Avas Hashem. What is greater, Ava or Yira? Ava. Which is more of a fundamental lacking if you don't have it? Yira. If someone violates a law that demonstrates a lack of Yira Shamayim, there are Oinshim. If someone doesn't fulfill an Asay, that means they don't have love of God, there is no punishment. But when the two coincide, one mitzvah says, love God. A law says, fear God. Asay is doicha lois asay. Why? Says Ramban, because Ahava is greater than Yira. That's Ramban in number 11 in this week's Parsha. Parshas Yisroi, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Ches. A beautiful Ramban, that the reason Asay is doicha lois Asay is because Avas Hashem is a greater madrega than Yira Shamayim. The reason why they're einshim for failure, for violating a lav and not for fulfilling Asay, is because not having Yira is much worse than not having Ava. Says Reb Shmuel Engel Goinus, the din that Asay is doicha lois Asay is only in Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel says Avas Hashem is the ambition of life. That's the goal that we all strive for. That's the highest madrega. Oh, in the world of Hillel, Asay doi chalois asay. Beis Shammai would never say Asay doi chalois asay. In the world of Beis Shammai, in Asay doi chalois asay. Because in Beis Shammai, Yira is greater than Ava. Beis Shammai doesn't care about Ava. Not that he doesn't care. That's not the Iker of Beis Shammai. The Iker is Yira. Therefore, in the world of Beis Shammai, you come to him, he'll never say, V'yahavta lecha kameicha. Ein asei doicha lois asei. Says Reb Shmuel Engel, Go'oinos. You ready for this? Watch this. Says Reb Shmuel Engel. You know, every year we start off the year, and we have a Yom Adin. And we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. What are we judged about? Our ma'isim. Why in Rosh Hashanah? Why would we be judged on Rosh Hashanah? So it's interesting. The reason we're judged on Rosh Hashanah is, I have a question. If Hashem created Adam on Rosh Hashanah like Reb Eliezer, fine, I understand why we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. But if Hashem created the world on Nisan like Reb Yeshua, what's He judging us on B'Echad B'Tishrei? Well, says the Ran, that ultimately Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas on Rosh Hashanah. And he was judged on Rosh Hashanah. And he was acquitted on Rosh Hashanah. And if he was acquitted on Rosh Hashanah, that means every year we're revisiting that particular sin. To what extent are we really doing tshuva? For what extent are we correcting it? To what extent do we still need to pay the price for it? Meaning, we know the Jewish calendar is a living calendar. When that date on the Jewish calendar comes, the power and the history of that day returns. So every year on Rosh Hashanah, we are being judged regarding the original sin. Fine. So a very interesting medrash. The medrash says about the lulav and esrog, v'lakachtem lachem bayoyim. No? Harishan. You should take on the first day. Gemara asks, what do you mean you don't take it on the first day? You take it on the 15th day. What do you mean, lakachtem lachem bayoyim harishan? So what does the medrash Tanchuma say? Rishan, lecheshvain, avoinais. It's the first day that averois count. What's that supposed to mean? They don't count before? Don't tell anybody about that. Keep it to yourself. Right? The Midrash says, Rishayin lecheshbayin avoynos. That means the first day that averos count is what? Sukkos. It's good to know. So the famous words are of Levi Yitzchak Barditchev, that there's a difference between the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and the tshuva of Sukkos. Question, yes or no? When a person does tshuva, the avera is completely erased. Yes or no? No. It depends what kind of tshuva you do. If you do tshuva out of fear, it's downgraded to a shoygeg. If you do have tshuva out of love, it's changed into a zechus. Right? Amar Reish Lakish. Gedoyla tshuva, shezedoynos nasas kishkagos. Amar Reish Lakish. Gedoyla tshuva, shezedoynos nasas kizechuyos. What's the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos? Rosh Hashanah is tshuva, but it's tshuva miyira. We're afraid of the Yom Adin. We're afraid Malachim Yechafezen. We're afraid of the impending judgment. And what happens on Sukkos, though? Sukkos is a time of chesed, of tshuva me'ahava. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditchev. Hashem doesn't start counting the averos yet. You know why? Because if he's going to count the averos and we're going to do tshuva, it's still going to be on the record. It's going to be downgraded from a mezid to a shagig. He doesn't start counting the averos until Sukkos, because on Sukkos, it's good for us if he counts the averos. Why? Because we do tshuva me'ava. We do tshuva me'ava, every avera is nepach lezuchusim. Fine. So that means what we've established is, there are two zmanim of tshuva. The zman of Rosh Hashanah, which is tshuva me'ira, the zman of Sukkos was the tshuva me'ava. Marav Rabbeisai, which is the more important tshuva? Tshuva me'ira or tshuva me'ava? Rabbi Nirsen, depends according to who? Beis Shammai would say the Iker tshuva is Rosh Hashanah, tshuva me'ira. Beis Hillel would say, no, imani kan hakol kan. Wait till Sukkos. Let's wait until Tesvav Tishrei. The Iker Tshuva is Tshuva Me'ahava Sukkos. Okay, one more step and then we'll tie it together. Says Marash Engel that, you know, we never know in life whether something is coming to fruition, if it's being actualized or realized, until a certain amount of time passes. Meaning, yes, the Yom HaDin is Rosh Hashanah or Sukkos. But, okay, what does the Din bring us? What will be from the Din? How is the Din playing out? Were we successful in doing tshuva? Is it a good year so far? At what point in time could a person know that what has began already is headed in the correct direction? So it's a klal and shas. That something is not actualized and it's not recognizable, the actualization, until how much time passes? 1/3. For example, a woman is expecting. Nobody knows, not even the shviger knows, that the woman is expecting until 3 months. Right? It takes 3 months at Shahukar Ubara. That's what the Gemara says. Why? Because it's a third. When a third comes, that's when it becomes actualized and realized. Another example. Another example is Hilchos Shviyas. Anything that grows a third before Shviyas is from the year before. Anything that grows a third after is from the next year. When do we know if the Zmani Tshuva were successful, if we did what we needed to do to correct the Chet of the Yetz Hadas? When do we fully understand and see and recognize, did we correct the Yetz Hadas on Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the year? Did we not? Is Hashem being Mashpia on us a better year? Is He not? When the third of the year is over. How much is a third of the year? 4 months. When is 4 months into the year? Says the Gemara, at what point, says the Mishnah, at what point do we know if the Eitz Hadas is being rectified or not? Be'echad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. The first day of Shavuot Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. This is in accordance with Beis Shammai Shita throughout Shas, that we go by Yira. We don't tell the Geri after the Recha Kamaicha, Ein Asei Doicha Loisasei, and the Yikr Tshuva is Rosh Hashanah. So 4 months into the year is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. Which Ilan? Eitz Hadas. Beis Hillel says, come on, this is the old Machlokes. We've been here before. After the Recha Kamaicha, Asei Doicha Loisasei, the Yikr Tshuva is Sukkis and Tu B'Shvat. So it's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel l'shitase. You want to know why are we mesake in the Yetz Hadas on either Echad B'Shvat or Tu B'Shvat? Because at this point in time, it becomes recognizable. It comes to fruition. It's being actualized. To what extent were we being matzliach during the Yomim Naran? So you'll ask, but why in the world does the Bnei Yisachar say there's a tradition to daven for a nice esrog? And the Ben Ishchai even has a colorful tefillah to daven for the esrog. What's the inyan of the esrog? So I would add 2 nekudos. Number one, very simply, what was the Eitz Hadas? So they say, Shalosh Pamim Tachag Li Bashana. There's a Ben Ishchai, there are three opinions. Te'ena, Chita, Geffen. There are three opinions. But the Iker opinion is none of the above, as right? The Iker opinion is, says the Medrash, take a look on your sheet in number, what? 18. There you go. What was it? Reb Abba Da'ako Yomar, Esroik Hoya. It's an Esroik. How do I know? Vatera Ha'isha, the woman saw Kitoiv Ha'eitz. The wood was good. Not the fruit was good. The wood was good. What tree does not only the fruit taste good, but the wood taste good? You know what tree the wood tastes good? Esrog! Esrog! Wow. So now we know the two opinions of what we do on Tu B'Shvat. We're masaking the chet of the Eitz Hadas. What does Eitz Hadas have to do with it? Because it's a third into the year after the Yom Adin of the Eitz Hadas. Either Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat. What does the Esrog have to do with it? Well, the Yetz Hadas was an Esrog. So one more step. Why are we davening for a good Esrog on Tu B'Shvat? If Tu B'Shvat is the day that we see the actualization, realization of the Yom HaDin of the Yetz Hadas, why daven for a beautiful Esrog on Tu B'Shvat? I'm going to say a Chiddush. Whenever there's a Yom HaDin for a particular thing, what do you do on that Yom HaDin? So the Gemara gives us a formula. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, look at number 19. The Gemara says, why do we bring Omer on Pesach? Because since on Pesach, Hashem judges us, it's a Yom HaDin on the Tefuah, Hashem says, bring me a carbon Omer so that you'll be judged for a good year on Tefuah. And the Gemara says, why do we bring Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos? Because on Shavuos we're judged on Peiros. Therefore, we bring Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. And why do we pour water on Sukkis? Since it's a Yom HaDin on Mayim, therefore we serve Hashem with Mayim. What the Gemara is teaching us a formula. If you want to have a good din on something, what's the way to do it? Do an avodah with that item. So Hashem says, you know what? I'll give you a lot of grain this year. You do good things with grain. I'll give you a lot of water this year. You serve me with water. So if what is being analyzed and scrutinized and what is coming to attention on Tu B'Shvat is, nu, are you rectifying the sin of the Eitz Hadas, which is an Esreg? Then we got to figure out some way to serve Hashem with an Esreg. Now, the obvious choice would be to come to Shul and shake a lulav and Esreg. The only problem is, it's Baal Tosef. You can't do that. It's not Sukkos. So the closest we could come is, so we have a tradition from the Admoirim, from the Sfaradim. We have a tradition. What are you going to do with an Esreg? How are you going to serve Hashem with an Esreg? You could either give it to Mubaris to bite off the Pitam, but the Pitam's already off by now, right? So what are you going to do? So we have a tefillah, at least it's on our minds, it's in our thoughts, to be mispalel for a beautiful Esreg. Ribbono shel Olam, the time has come. We think that 4 months into the year, it's already the time of realization for the Yimei Hadin, be it Rosh Hashanah, be it Sukkot, to be misakein the chait of the Eitz Hadas, which was an Esreg. Marv Rabbeisai, one more point, and then we'll call it a day. We're misakein the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Maybe we could find another dimension of this particular day, the 15th day of Shvat. This time of the year comes, it's my favorite time of the year. Why? Because we're already starting to feel the embrace of Purim, right? We're already getting closer to Purim. Best time of the year, right? Let's talk a little bit about the Megillah. So, what's Haman's plan? Yasu ha'etz gavoy ha'chamishim amot. Let's make a tree 50 amos tall. I have a question. You know how tall 50 amos tall is? According to the Chazon Ish, really, Akashish could barely see that. What do you need a tree 50 amos tall? I'm telling you, 25 amos tall would do the same thing. What's Haman trying to do? So Rav Yonis and Eibeshit says, Haman min ha-Torah minayin ha-min ha-Eitz. Meaning, what is the root of Haman in the Torah? The chet of the Eitz Hadas. Haman was trying to replicate the sin of the Eitz Hadas. What was the sin of the Eitz Hadas? Rav Yonis and Eibeshit has a fantastic take on the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Question. Then the Nachash bumps into Chava. He says, "Hey Chava, what's up? How's things?" Chava said, "No, was machter a snake? What's going on?" And the snake said, "You know this tree over here? Maybe it looks good. Maybe you want to eat it." So Chava says, "No. On the day we eat it, we're gonna die." The snake says, "No, leimais tamosan, you're not gonna die." One simple question for you. Imagine you came home tonight, and you come home, the mailman happens to be in your house, and he says, maybe you should eat this apple on the table. And you happen to have a biogeneticist at your table. He says, I don't recommend eating the apple. There's arsenic in the apple. So you have two deos. You have the mailman, and you have the biogeneticist. One says you're going to drop dead, and the other one says nothing's going to happen to you. Raise your hand. Who's going to eat the apple? Okay, next question. What if you have the entire postal service team, every member, 100 people, 1,000 people, they say, nothing will happen if you eat the apple. And you have one biogeneticist, maybe you know how to deliver mail, but I'm just telling you, there happens to be poison. I did a test. There's poison in the apple. Raise your hand if you're going to eat the apple. What if you had all the postal service men in every country, you have 10,000 people, and yet, you're not going to eat the apple. It's not that critical to eat the apple. First of all, it's a suffik, you know, suffik l'chumra, sveik l'chumra. Why would you literally? I have a question. The Nachash says you're not going to die, and God says you are going to die. So what's wrong with Adam? Why would he listen to the Nachash? At least it should be a 50-50. Why didn't Adam think, you know what, maybe Hashem's right. Next. Hashem tells Adam, b'yom achochi menu mois tamos, you'll die twice. Chava tells the Nachash that if we eat it, we're going to die. The Nachash says, "Loy mois tamusin, you're not going to die twice." Why did God say you're going to die twice? What did He mean you're going to die twice? What did the Nachash mean, no, you're not going to die twice? Here's the thing. Adam Rishon didn't quite understand why he couldn't eat the Eitz Hadas. After all, what is the Eitz Hadas? The Eitz Hadas is the highest level of knowledge, a level that a person cannot attain in their lifetime. It's called the Sharnun, the 50th gate of wisdom. The 50th gate is the Das of Hashem. But since Lo Yirani HaAdam B'Chai, since you cannot understand God and be alive, Adam figured that it's not that there's something wrong with the Eitz Hadas, it's just he doesn't have the capacity to live while eating the Eitz Hadas. Lo Yirani HaAdam B'Chai. He figured that when God said, you're going to die, it just meant he cannot physically remain alive, consuming and knowing that knowledge. The Nachash said, yeah, that's all it is. You're not going to die twice in this world and the next world. It's not a punishment. It's just a natural consequence. But that's not what God said. God said, don't eat it. You're going to die in this world. And if you don't listen to me, you're going to lose Olam Haba. Mois Tamosan, it's not just a natural consequence. It's a punishment. And the Nachash, being very clever, he said, no, God just doesn't want you to leave this world, but you're not going to die twice. And if you're not going to die twice, it's kedai to give up your life in this world to attain Das Elokis, so you'll die. You'll go up to Gan Eden and you'll be mistabik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Shar Nun. Just eat the tree and then you'll be Kelokim, you'll be mistabik to God. But you won't die twice. That was the mistake. He was not medayik in the words of Hashem. What Haman wanted to do, and Rabbi Yonah Sanabishitz has diyukim, Mordechai was on the Madriga of Moshe, who only had Shar Mem Tes. He wanted Mordechai to chap the Shar Nun. Yasu Eitz Gavaya Chamishimama. The sin, and what Haman was trying to do in the times of Purim, was trying to re-invoke, bring out again the Shar Nun, the Eitz Hadas. Haman min HaTorah minayin hamino Eitz. Meaning, the infrag, what Haman represents in times of Purim is the Cheda, the Yetz Hadas. That means Purim is a time we have to start thinking about rectifying and correcting and overcoming the Yasu Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Ama, rectifying the Cheda, the Yetz Hadas. So when does that rectification period begin? Shloshim Yoyim Koyim Achag. Memela on Tu B'Shvat, 30 days before Purim. What is it? Rosh Hashanah le'ilan for the tree of the Eitz Hadas that we start to rectify in preparation of Purim haba aleinu l'tayva. So let me be the first to wish you all a freilichen upcoming Purim. Shkayach.
Very nice. Very nice. There's also kachachos l'layva.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.